Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'm going back to my country home.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great companion of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." It is Friday, December 17th. 2021. Pastor Jason, a week from now it's Christmas Eve, and then a week from tomorrow it's Christmas. It's just like, can this be?
It's come quick. It's come really quick.
And I led off with this passage, obviously a great one during this Christmas season, during this Advent time. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." As I wanted to find something to highlight the fact that tomorrow the singing men of GNN will be singing "Glory to God in the highest," and that great company of the singing men, I think about 30 of us strong, will be putting on a free concert at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. It's at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 or 6:30. For 21 straight years, we were at the Marketplace Mall food court, but because of their protocol is you have to wear masks, that it wasn't going to work out. As much as they wanted to have us in the food court, the great team at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy and a couple of the men that sing with our group attend there, they've invited us to put on the concert. So that's tomorrow night, 7 p.m., free concert at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. There will be a love offering taken to help with the costs of the singing men of GNN. And if you're a regular radio listener and you want to present a year-end gift or a special donation towards our ministry, I'd gladly receive that. And I think we're going to have the men after the concert at the doors. So if anyone wants to make a donation, that would be great. And I'll probably bring a number of the It's a Wonderful Life CDs, because all next week during Mark and Friends, Monday through Friday, will air It's a Wonderful Life. So Monday there will be a portion, then on Tuesday, then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Kathleen Jennings will do some special readings from a book called 52 Little Lessons from It's a Wonderful Life. So next week's programs will highlight the Great News Radio Theater Troupe's presentation of It's a Wonderful Life, and then Kathleen Jennings will also have some special readings from 52 Little Lessons from It's a Wonderful Life. So it'll be special programming all next week. But back to the singing men. So if you come and make a donation, I'll have a It's a Wonderful Life CD that recounts that beloved story by the Great News Media Theater Troupe team. Anyone that's listened to this or heard it thinks, wow, that's pretty special and wonderful, and it's a great retelling. And some of the characters really sound like the original Hollywood actors and such. So anyways, we're pretty excited about that. So free concert tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. And It's a Wonderful Life CDs. I'll bring some of those. If you make a donation, you can pick one up. And then next week, be sure to tune in, whether it's at 7:32 a.m. or the 7:32 p.m. re-airing. And that's Central Time, 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. And we'll have the retelling of It's a Wonderful Life by the theater troupe, basically broken into 5 segments. So you'll hear it in its entirety if you tune in all week long. So excited about that. And this portion of scripture, you and I prayed beforehand, you know, just the incredible truth that this season has, this Advent season of being mindful that the Lord has come. Jesus Christ came, Emmanuel, God with us in bodily form, showing us what God the Father was like. He's God, he's man, and through the Holy Spirit revealed truth to us so that we can be convicted of our sins, recognizing we're flawed, we can't earn our way into heaven, recognizing that we need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. And as we talked about it, it's just an incredible truth that because of the work that Jesus Christ did on our behalf, he died for our sins. He took our punishment. And sometimes that gets blurred or gets lost in the Christmas message of this little baby in the manger. But he grew to be a man, and he lived life on this earth, and then he suffered on the cross for our sins so that we can be redeemed. And you and I were both just recounting what an awesome thing that God did, and what a great time to just be mindful that Jesus Christ came, and yet he's going to return, and those of us that follow him, if we're still alive, we'll be caught up in the air and enter into glory. And the fact that we do have an eternal destiny marked out for us because of our faith in what Jesus did. So it's all about him during the season. And that's why I think the angels could sing. And that's why we should all say glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. That peace be in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That's one aspect of looking at it, that as we receive him into our heart, as we confess our sins and ask him to be our Savior, we can have that peace on earth, but then we'll have that eternal peace, knowing that we're secured with him in heaven for all eternity, and then some. that's part of the Christmas message that maybe doesn't always get proclaimed, right?
Well, you know what? I've been talking about this the whole Christmas season, is that this season is about us building a sense of awe of who God is. You know, this big, huge picture of who God is. And can you imagine? You know, and I think it really is hard for us to imagine because we don't have a frame of reference. Some of us who've been to Israel have some frame of reference because we've been able to see those shepherd's fields and we've been able to, you know, look upon them and kind of get a lay of the land. But really, none of us have a category for what the scripture here is talking about happened on this night. You know, that there was one angel who made a proclamation, but then along with that one angel, then there was a heavenly host. You know, it says in verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So we have no category, most of us, for all of a sudden this miraculous intercession by a single angel, and the glory of the Lord which shone around in that moment, because we don't, I mean, the full manifest kind of glory of the Lord, but then we do know that it created great fear. But then it says, and then the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. So, I mean, not only is this moment not have a category, but the message doesn't have a category either, right?
Hmm.
Because good news is being brought for all people, not just for some people, not just for those people who have done well or who have exceeded expectations, not just for those people who are chosen or set apart, but for all people. And it says, for unto you, so given to you, by the way, these are shepherds. So these are like common low rung folks. You know, these are the folks that in this time would be considered the ones who live on that side of town, you know, the side of town that nobody goes to. They weren't allowed to go to church, what would be in the temple, because they were considered to be unclean. Shepherds could not testify in trials because they were considered to be of ill repute. And so here you've got these angels, one angel appearing to these shepherds and making this proclamation of this message that's going to be for all people. And by the way, I love how it says it's going to be for all people. And we know it must be true because God doesn't start in the top with the emperors and the kings, but he goes down to the lowest rung, to the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, for unto you. So he says, this message is coming to you first and foremost. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. So city of David, that's the kind of talk that the Bible loves to use to show promise. The promise. This is the seed of David from the Old Testament, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord means the anointed one. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then it says, so you get this message, which is magnificent. This message that the good news and great joy is coming to all people, not just certain people, not just those people who have, again, like I said, exceeded expectations or who have done well with their lives, but this is going to be for all people. And then all of a sudden it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, which when they say glory to God in the highest, what that means is what is about to happen when you give God praise, it will be the biggest, the highest possible, because this thing is bigger than you understand. Like there's something about this that when you see it, when you experience it, when you know it, the only thing you're going to be able to do is go, wow, God. And so it says, glory to God in the highest, which means that their praise is going to go up, and on earth, peace with those whom he has pleased. So as their praise goes up, their peace will grow. As it on earth as it is in heaven. This is the same thing that Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, the same kind of effect that happens when we set our affections and we set our gaze and our desires upon God. When we hear this magnificent message, which is bigger than we could even ever understand, as it takes hold of us and our praise goes up, his peace comes down upon us and rests upon us. And all this is meant, again, to give us this big, huge, magnificent view of God. In my Bible, I have this little note written, and I wrote up here at the top, it says, didn't see this coming. You know, because I don't think anybody did. I don't think anybody said, now, when this happens, this is the way it's going to go. A single angel's going to come, and it's going to proclaim to the lowest of low, you know, the have-nots, that there's going to be good news, great joy, that unto you in the city of David's going to be born a Savior, and his name is going to be Christ the Lord. And then you won't believe it. All these angels are going to come out of nowhere, and man, it's going to be a hallelujah chorus. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Not at all. And listen, sometimes when we don't see something coming is the moment when we're like, whoa, what just happened? Wow. And God almost assaults their sensibilities. One of the words I really love to use these days is ridiculous. God comes in this really ridiculous way, this way that confounds our senses, that makes us go, this is not the way I would do it. You know, if I was going to do this, I would send that angel to Great News Radio so that it could go out all over central Illinois and West Indiana. But this angel came to the have-nots, came to the people who didn't, who many would say didn't deserve to know this, didn't deserve this message. But God said, it's not about who you think deserves this message, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Good news of great joy that will be for all people. And this is the way that God operates. God doesn't operate the way that we think to operate. One of the verses that during this Advent time that has really been on my heart and my mind, it was on it yet again this morning, is John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. It's a marvelous verse, you know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Because I want to find hints of the Advent story in Scripture. And what I find in the beginning of John chapter 3 is this Pharisee, this man named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, who comes to Jesus by night. Now, some people would say, well, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night because it's nighttime. He comes at night because he doesn't want to be seen with Jesus. He comes at night because this way nobody will see him going to visit Jesus. And I think that that's probably true. But I also think that it says he comes at night because this brother was walking in darkness. This brother had a kind of spiritual darkness, but he had a keen awareness that there was something more happening around him, and he wanted to know what that might be. You know, and it's very interesting, right? Because we go back to Isaiah chapter 9, that famous set of verses that prefigure the coming of Christ that said, you know, these people are walking in darkness and they will see a great light. And here we have in John chapter 3, Nicodemus walking in a kind of darkness, but he is seeking the light. And who is the light? The light who is the life of men, Jesus Christ. And he comes and Jesus begins to talk to him and tell him about the things of the Spirit and tell him who God is and what God is up to. And then we get this great moment, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And when I tell people that I love this verse, they go, I know, man, you love the gift of Jesus, right? And I said, no. Actually, what I love about it's a little sooner than that. And they said, what do you mean? He gave his only son? No. It's a little before that. Oh, you mean you love the fact that it says God loves the world, because God is love. That's First John. And he calls us to mirror that and go out into the world and love others. No, it's actually a little bit before that. My favorite part of this verse is the word so. Just those two letters, so. Because so is the extent in which God was willing to go to pursue us. You know, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says that God demonstrates his love like this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That God so loved us. The so is so important. God so loved us that he was willing to demonstrate his love, even in light of the fact that we stood opposed to him and his enemies. That God didn't say, you don't have to be good enough first. You don't have to deserve my love to receive it. You don't have to jump through these hoops in order to receive my love. God says, you can even be my enemy, and you can receive my love. Mm. He so loved the world. It's the ridiculous extent in which God was willing to pursue his people. You know, when the Bible talks about the lost sheep of Israel in Matthew chapter 10, this is the extent in which God was willing to go after and find those lost sheep. That he was willing to shed divinity and come into humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, to pour himself out of what it meant to be God, to take on the likeness of sinful flesh, to walk amongst men, to suffer, to live, to be mocked, to be cursed, to die a brutal death, to rise again and to ascend to the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. Hmm. The extent in which God was willing to go to bring us back to him. It's encapsulated in that little word, so. Hmm. And God so loved the world, all of it, that he demonstrated his love like this, that out in the field there were shepherds tending sheep, the lowest of the low, the people who you just didn't think counted. And suddenly there was an angel that appeared and said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, even you. Mm-hmm. Because there's people who probably say, you don't deserve this. But we want you to know the extent of God's love. That born unto you on this day in the city of David is a Savior, your Savior. And his name is Christ the Lord.
You know, Jason, you're so right. Again, here's another example where God is going after the most common of folks. Like you said, the shepherds or Mary, a common, you know, young girl that loved the Lord and pursued her, not the power brokers, you know, not the Pharisees or the religious leaders, not the influencers or the shakers and movers at the time, the common folks. And that should be an encouragement to all of our listeners, to you and I. We're beloved of God. It's kind of a mystery. He chose us. He's calling us, all of us that follow Jesus and recognize him as our Savior. It's not because we willed it upon ourselves or we're just that smart. We're probably quite the opposite. It's like we're flawed, Lord. We're no good, but you saw fit to reveal Jesus and help us understand that we need a Savior. And it's kind of amazing that he does go after the most common, the humble, you know, those that aren't in the limelight or the most popular.
Yeah, and to just think that these shepherds, these people who had been excluded from so much, I mean, remember earlier I told you they weren't allowed to attend the temple in the same way that those people who were the haves were allowed to attend the temple. And yet, these guys who didn't get to go to the temple and didn't get to come into God's presence to make atonement suddenly got to go and stand in front of God himself, who was going to be the atoning lamb. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just breathtaking when you think about it, when you think about how God did this. And again, the top of the page of my Bible didn't see this coming. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody understood that God was going to do it this way. And so one of the things I think that Christmas, you know, this season teaches us is the fact that God doesn't do things our way, that God does them a way that is miraculous, that kind of assaults our sensibilities for what we think is right and wrong, because it's meant to reorder what we believe is right and wrong, what is good, what is marvelous, and what is glorious. Hmm. And it's meant to take our eyes and turn them back upon him and say, listen, I don't know how this thing works out, but I trust in the one who shed divinity, stepped into humanity, and gave his life for me.
You know, it's interesting, Jason. I'm just going to read verse 15 here, and I should put the disclaimer out. Listen, everyone, Pastor Jason had no idea I was going to share this passage today. I didn't give him even a moment's notice. I just opened up the program with it because it was on my heart. But I like this verse 15, too. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Actually, the angels came and kind of proclaimed this, but they knew it was the Lord speaking to them, which the Lord has told us about. And I think that's God's desire during this Advent season and during all seasons, is to reveal truth and insight to us, to speak to us, to tell us about his son, his beloved son, Jesus, dying for our sins, that John 3:16 message.
Exactly. And to go into all the world and to express his love. And it challenges me because immediately it makes me think, listen, that person who I've been called to love doesn't have to earn my love. They don't have to do X, Y, and Z before I show them God's love. Instead, God demonstrates to me that even while they're my enemies, even while they're unlovable, even while they're irritating, I've been called to love them.
Yeah.
And I've been called to bring that good news message of great joy that is for all the people, even the ones that I may, in my own humanness, not see fit to receive it.
Yeah. Oh, what a good God we serve, a great God worthy of our praise, our worship, our adoration, our lives, our sacrifice, our all in all. And we can never outgive the great giver that gave his very best, gave his one and only son who desired to redeem all of us. It's an incredible time for us to proclaim this good news message and to share it with those we love, those we don't even know. Look for those opportunities. Pray for it that the Lord would order your steps today, and he will give you lots of opportunities, maybe in the grocery store in line, or maybe at the gas station, or maybe with a neighborhood kid or a colleague at work. And you know, enter into the season saying, isn't it great that our Lord was born and this is the season we celebrate and we look forward to his return? Or strike up some kind of conversation about, you know, a Christmas carol you heard or a Christmas card you recently received, and see how God would propel that into a spiritual conversation about this good news message of Jesus. Well, Jason, we'll be singing all about this good news message tomorrow night at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. It's a free concert by the Singing Men of GNN, 7 p.m. Come on out and enjoy an evening with the Singing Men of GNN. We have a number of selections. There'll be a sing-along, and some of the music will be accessible so everyone can see it, I think, up on the wall or on the screen. And then next week, Monday through Friday, the Great News Radio Theater Troupe's rendition of It's a Wonderful Life will be aired during Mark and Friends with special readings by Kathleen Jennings from a book, 52 Little Lessons from It's a Wonderful Life. So that'll be all next week during Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. with a 7:32 p.m. re-airing. That's 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. So Merry Christmas, and I guess we can save the Happy New Year for the following week. But wow, the new year is just around the corner.
It's coming quick.
It's coming quick. Oh, well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.